Imp Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Move along, nothing to see here.
You ain't gonna do nothing.
Daughter! Keeping the heart affected.
Come on, Imo!
It's
good.
The thing, bro.
Where's you know me?
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I will be with you all night. And I'm not with the usual cast of characters. We have a special guest. You know him, you love him. I know you do. Because he's been on the show before. I'm sure you know. I'm not going to tell you until the very end. So, we are here, ladies and gentlemen, to do Amp Radio's Smack My Picks Up featuring Bellator 207. And, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, Friday and Saturday, Bellator 208. Hashtag Bellator Nation. Bellator 207 is Mitrione versus Bader, which will take place on October 12th, 2018 at the Mohican Sun Arena in Uncasville. The granddaddy of them all, right, DJ Tony? In Connecticut, your boy, Joe Rogan's favorite state. The event will be live on the Paramount Network, but apparently not on DAZN or DAZN, whichever way you like to pronounce it, ladies and gentlemen. On Saturday, as I mentioned, Bellator 208, Fedor versus Sonnen will be held October 13th, 2018 in the Nassau Coliseum in Uniondale, New York. The event will also air on the Paramount Network. Tony, I had thought that this would be on a DAZN weekend, but apparently not.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly, mate. All right, so let's go ahead and bring in the host of the show. You know where you love her. She has been checking in at her office every now and then, but I think she's got another hurricane coming her way. And if you don't know her and you don't love her, this is your first time listening to the show, you will. Let's bring in Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys.
What is
happening? I'm tired of these hurricanes, man. Enough of the weather, enough of the rain, enough of the wind, enough of the falling down trees. Goodness gracious. But
well, that's what comes with living right on the ocean,
right?
Down there in that warm temperature area.
I know. Well, prayers going out to, you know, everybody that was in the path of destruction of Hurricane Michael, man. There's some crazy stuff, some scary pictures coming out. How's everybody? I hope you all enjoyed the fights this weekend.
Yeah, and
I did.
As Pam mentioned, we will get to that, but first we have to do Smack My Picks Up, and I need to move right along to the boss man himself, the man who is responsible for the amped versions of the press conference, the amped version of the in-cage comments, and of course, the MMA Minute. Let's bring him in, the boss man himself from the mean street of Danville, California. It's Tony time, bitches.
It's Tony time, bitches.
We have a very special guest today, guys, and I'm stoked, I said. About as stoked as Dana White on Khabib winning the title.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Whoa.
Excuse me, bitch.
I lost you on that one, huh, Proteus? Yeah, I lost you on that one. Boy, I got crickets on that one.
I thought you had a retort ready. I thought you had a little rant ready.
Well, I sneezed so hard my bra snapped and I had to go had a
Jesus. I love it. That's what dreams are made of, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
So I left the phone in here by the computer. I put it on speaker so I wouldn't miss anything. I ran, you know. And
we do have a special guest. You know him, you love him. If you're a longtime listener, you know him from Proteus's Primetime. If you're an MMA junkie listener, you know this voice already. Run the music. It's the gambler himself.
You got it.
count your money. Sitting at the table. What's going on, fellas and the beautiful fam?
Hey,
what
it's
is
Mr.
happening,
Las Vegas.
Showtime? It is. That's what I was about to say. You were down there, Showtime, for the big event that we will, of course, start to cover in the second part of the show, UFC 228, of course. Junkie Gathering, no?
Yeah, man, it was sort of a bittersweet gathering.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if – I'm pretty sure you guys heard Junkie.
Yeah.
Junkie Self, Sam Medina lost his life tragically. He committed suicide.
Oh, man.
So that like put a big damper on the whole gathering. I found out about that Saturday morning, and my day was pretty much ruined, you know, after that.
Man.
Very, very good guy, man. So you just say a prayer for his family and for his kids.
That's sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, guys, I'm going to reiterate on this show once more. If you need to talk to somebody, please talk to somebody. There are helplines. Please do it. I mean, the Junkie Chef, we lost someone. That's unfortunate. But we've lost junkies in the past. And again, guys, it's an epidemic that we've been talking about lately. But I digress, because we got to go ahead and bring in the star of the show, the man who is coming at us deep from the heart of Texas, Marco Fuoco, brother.
Sneezing, I'll get you sneezing all the time. I will get like dolphin and stuff around you. Spray your nose all the time. Keep sneezing.
I totally missed that one. I apologize. My fault.
I can hear it.
I said, pal, if all it takes to snap on a stab your bro is to you to sneeze, I'll be throwing dolphin at your nose all the time so you sneeze all the time.
Why?
I think you call that like a when you have a blow. I think it's called a blowout, like when your bra breaks. It's called a blowout.
God. Okay. Just don't fight.
We can't talk fights. Listen, have you seen Pam's photos from the beach? You know why that if she sneezes, that stuff gets done. Anyways, let's move on to the fight.
But she's very well endowed for a girl.
Indeed.
Hey, Mother Nature digs me, man.
That's what I hear. All right, guys. To Bellator 207 we go.
Yay.
This, of course, again, is October 12th, 2018. And as we record, this is tomorrow night. We are October 11th, 2018. Let me go ahead and get into this right now. Matt Mitrione, your boy, who should, in my opinion, be the heavyweight champion in Bellator, versus the surging Ryan Bader, coming up a weight division from light heavyweight to heavyweight and wrecking fools in this division. Pam.
Yep.
I'm going to give the odds and everything later.
Okay.
But let me throw to you quickly.
Okay.
And then we'll go to
Showtime.
Well,
first of all,
hang on. I'm not done. And then we'll go to Showtime because he is the special guest. But we always go ladies first on this show. What you got, Matt Mitrione
okay.
or your boy, Ryan Bader?
Ryan Bader. Okay, first of all, is this on like for real TV or do you got to do all the streaming and all the other bullshit?
No, apparently this one is actually on real TV.
Okay. Okay, so we've got Matt Mitrione and Ryan Bader. And on paper, this is actually a pretty good fight here. Matt Mitrione, Mr. Black Belt Karate, is on a four-win streak. Three of those wins are by KO. He has lost to Travis Brown, Ben Rothwell, and Brendan Schaub. Both of these guys have KO power. Ryan Darth Bader, Black Belt in Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling. He's on a 5-win streak. Four of those wins are by KO. He has losses to Anthony Johnson and Glover Teixeira. Both of these guys, 11 KOs, Matt Mitri on two decisions, Ryan Bader, three subs. You know what? I'm gonna go with Ryan Bader. I'm going with Ryan Bader, second round TKO.
Oh, all right. Let me get a new page here.
I mean, I like meathead. I dig the meathead. The cabeza de carne, that's what you would say in Spanish.
What did you say, second round TKO?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's throw the gambler himself on this one, and I'm going to give you the updated odds if I can real quickly here. Hang on. I'm just trying to make sense of – oh, here we go. Matt Mitrione, of course, 40 years of age against Ryan Bader, 35 years of age. Matt Mitrione's record is 13-5. Bader's is 25-5. And Showtime, we're going to throw to you because I believe these are from five dimes, these odds. Ryan Bader comes at us at a -325, like Pam just mentioned.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, we're excited about Ryan Bader and Matt Mitrione coming back at us at a +265. Showtime, what do you think about these odds, and what do you think about this fight?
Woof. That's a free – oof. I thought that this fight would be a little bit closer odds-wise to, you know, maybe, you know, -170, you know, +180 or something like that. You know, this is a wide margin, even though I like Bader. But now we can't – Meathead has power, and one of the things that hurt Bader in a couple of his fights, you know, with Anthony Johnson, he got starched, you know, from the get-go. So I think if Mitrione win this fight, I think he's going to win it early. That's the only way he can win it. If not, I think Bader just grind him out and may end up choking him out or something. But, I mean, I just don't – -325, that's a lot, in my opinion. You know, for this fight, for a smaller guy coming up and being that much of a favorite. But I do like Bader, though.
Okay. Sorry, you have to give it to me one more time. Bader, messing around?
I say Bader, second round submission.
Okay. Second round sub. All right. I'm getting a little voice in my ear telling me we've got another caller on the line. But we're going to finish this fight. And then we'll get the caller in. So, caller, please hang on, please. Thank you very much. All right. So, DJ Tony, let's throw to you because we know that you're the Bellator man, and we got to get your call on this. Do you agree with both Showtime and Pam that although the odds are high on Bader right now, that maybe he stands a good chance against Matt Mitrione, who I think should be the heavyweight champion? Tony, what you got?
Yeah, I was hoping you guys would get me because we have so many stars on the show and I don't deserve the airtime with these stars, not joking. But I will say this, I'm actually shocked, just like Showtime, that Bader's a favorite. Bader's a smaller man, not by much, but he's a smaller man, certainly fights in a different weight class. I'm going Matt Mitrione, guys. I just think he's too big, too strong, not too fast, but I think he's too big. I'm going Matt Mitrione. I thought he was going to win it from the beginning. So I'm going Matt Mitrione with, you know what? I think it's going to go via decision. So.
Oh, wow. And this is a five-round fight, correct? Because we're the main event in Bellator?
Yeah, I don't think either one can finish either one.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go next, and then, of course, we're going to go throw to the mystery guest because Showtime was already the mystery guest, but now we got a mystery guest. I think I'm going to agree with you, DJ Tony. I think even though Mitrione is more advanced in age, I think that his boxing is just a little bit better than Bader's. Now, the wrestling game definitely will probably come into effect here, guys. I mean, we know that Matt Mitrione maybe is not the best guy in the wrestling game, and of course Ryan Bader is definitely that. But I'm hoping that Mitrione, as you mentioned, Tony, being the bigger guy, will be able to shut down the wrestling game of Bader. I think as well if it doesn't get finished early by Mitrione, it's probably going to go to decision. But to mix it up or to make good radio podcast land, I'm going to go with a first round KO by Mitrione. All right, guys, we have a special mystery guest, and I'm going to throw it quickly to him right now.
Oh, thank you.
Just run his music. You know what I'm talking about with DJ Tony.
Yo, what's going on, my aunt Gremley, what's going on?
What's up, family? Rone, your sound is terrible. Do you want to call us back and try to reconnect?
You can't hear me good?
No, I cannot hear you very well at all. So I'm thinking we play your music, you call us right back, and we continue from there.
How about now? Can you hear me better now? What's going on, family? My aunt family, what's going on, everybody? I know, man. Yeah. You know, long overdue, right?
Sometimes life gets in the way. We always say that on this show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, but I had to touch down and see how the family's doing, you know. No love lost, you know. Talk this thing, MMA, we all love, you know.
I am glad you're here. It's a packed show for you for the Bellator card. I mean, like I was mentioning last week, the last Bellator card we had that we did a Smack My Picks on was the best show we've had for Bellator. So now we've got five people giving picks. This is extra content. Everybody better love it. Lerone, thank you for coming back, brother. And, hey, listen, quickly, before we get to your pick, you're coming up to Toronto? Are you coming up for Toronto for the fights? We can have a cigar together or what?
Toronto, probably. It didn't work out for me.
All right. That's all cool. We'll get together and we'll do it up whenever we can.
Oh, right. Definitely.
Lerone, what you got here? Do you got Matt Mitrione or you got Bader? What do you got?
I'm a big Bader fan, man. In his recent career, man, he's been clicking on all cylinders in Bellator, believe it or not. I don't know if he just dialed in and he's a different person and, you know, he just needed to change from the UFC, but he was, you know, win one, lose one, you know, very impatient type of fighter. He goes in, rushes in, gets clobbered with somebody who, you know, you know, on paper, you know, should lose to him. I think Mitrione, I'm going with Bader, but I think Mitrione has a puncher's chance. I see it being Mitrione's fight in the beginning, and I think it'll take Bader a while to warm up. Because I think Mitrione is a bigger size, and they're fighting. Is this light heavyweight or heavyweight?
Heavyweight, sir.
Wow. Yeah, see, I think Mitrione's more of a natural heavyweight in size, and I'm assuming he's a little bit bigger than Bader. He might bully him around a little bit. In the first, you know, round or two. I can see maybe Bader squeezing out a decision or, like, a sub. I don't really see him, like, knocking him out or TKO or anything like that, you know. Meathead, he's like a journeyman. I mean, you know, he's not a baby face. He's not a heel. He's like a gatekeeper, more or less, you know, a good scrapper, sort of like a country Nelson, Roy Nelson. Kind of reminds me of that, where these guys, you know, when you put them in there, they're going to scrap, you know. Like, I seen him live against Fedor. That was, you know, pretty amazing for, you know, as quickly as it ended.
Good fight, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'll have to go with Bader, man.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I don't see him knocking him out, man. He has knockout power, believe it or not, man. He got a good overhand right. I see him going to decision or like a TKO for Bader. And Mitrione, if anything, I can't remember how good of a gas tank he got, but I would assume he would go for the knockout either in the first or the second round.
Okay, but I need you to go. You got Bader. I need you to give me a method of round for Bader, please.
For Bader. I'm going to say...
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you are. Say decision, man. I want to say just like a, I don't know, like a, what are those decisions where, you know, starts out good, man, and it just kind of just ends where it's just like, you know, oh, he had this round, that round. I feel like it's going to be one of those. I feel he would come out better in the third, fourth, fifth round. He's not a natural heavyweight, man. So this would, you know, be, you know, somewhat interesting to see him fight a natural heavyweight. He fought King Mo last, correct?
Yeah, that was a quick fight, though. Okay, we got to move on, though, Lerone, real quickly here, man. We've got to get to another fight, and then we got to go ahead and get into some news and notes.
What am I, Chubb Little?
No, that's what I'm saying. We got to move to you. We got to move to the star of the show, Marco. You haven't spoken yet. What you got?
So, all you guys got kind of sort of break down this fight the way it's supposed to go. I mean, Bader tipped the scales like around 235 today. So he's not like a small heavyweight. Or, you know, like the sweetest spot for heavyweights is 235 to 245. That is where most of the dominant champions have been. Bader's going to be the faster guy, the younger guy. He got freaking Matt Mitrione kryptonite because freaking Matt Mitrione's grappling is dreadful at best. He got really good stand there.
Yeah.
Really good movement on his feet. If he does you, you're in trouble. But his grappling and his wrestling, I mean, Roy Nelson was taking him down at will and kicking him down.
Yeah.
Roy Nelson, for crying out loud. I mean, never mind the fact that Brendan Chomp choked him out in like a minute. Ryan Bader is a smart fighter, dude. He's going to wrestle fuck the shit out of Mami Trio and make it boring. He's going to do what he did to Rampage in Japan. He's just going to grab a leg, grapple, take him down, quite take a risk, you know. I mean, Mami Trio is not Anthony Rambo Johnson. When Bader fought Johnson, he fought scared. He didn't want to get freaking touched by Bader. That's why he was shooting from 3 miles away, and that is why Johnson was able to stop that takedown and then knock him out on the ground, you know, with the freaking hammers from Thor that he got. Mitrione is not that kind of fighter, man. So Bader is going to be able to close the gap, take a hole, take Mitrione down, rinse and repeat for however long the fight is. I don't know if it's 3-rounder or a 5-rounder, because Bader doesn't usually do non-title fights, 5-rounders, but for however long it lasts, it's going to be a decision, because Bader tends to decision it more than he tends to finish. And it's going to be a boldly dominant Bader grapple fuck. So give me Bader by decision.
Okay. Wow, you guys are, I mean, three of you guys are going with Bader by decision. So, I mean, I see that happening too. I mean, it's definitely possible, but I don't know, big power. Okay, so guys, let's go ahead and move on to the next fight that we need to cover here for a Bellator 208, the main event. If you could cue the music, Tony, if you're ready, to the heavyweight division we go. And, of course, if I didn't mention earlier, this is the heavyweight tournament, ladies and gentlemen, continuing on. Fedor Emelianenko, 42 years of age, 37-5-1. A minus 250 showtime. We're going to go to you first against Chael Sonnen, 41 years of age, 30-15-1 at a plus 210. What do you got going on here, Showtime? Because I've been scratching my head a little bit.
To be honest, man, I think Fedor will probably knock Chael out, man. I like Chael little lay and pray game. But I just think the old man, the last emperor, still has some fire left in those fists.
Yeah.
And I think he's gonna put Chael down. Even though I know Chael will have a heavy, you know, lay and pray game, wrestle game, I just think that he'll catch him sort of like he caught our guy in that first fight when he knocked him out to advance. I think he'll catch Chael some kind of way.
Yeah.
But Chael can be hit. He can be hit. And I think, you know, Fedor's going to touch him and hurt him. And I think this will be by knockout. It may be a third-round knockout or something like that. That's what I'll go.
Okay.
The last emperor in the third round by TKO.
Yeah, I mean, he was able to knock out Frank Mir, you know, in the first round. So, I mean, that's impressive, right, Showtime? But let me go ahead and get you to comment quickly, because, you know, we brought up the odds. Is this fight as close as you thought, or is it a big gap? Because Fedor is at a minus 250, and Chael is at a plus 210. And again, just like the last fight that we were seeing, Chael moving up in weight as well to heavyweight. So what do you think about the odds?
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I had myself on mute. I'm sorry. I was trying to talk.
Oh, that's okay, brother. I understand.
I think, you know, sort of maybe, you know, the minus 170 plus 180, you know, this is kind of, I think the odds are kind of skewed a little bit. Even though, you know, you got to give a guy like Chael, he real crafty, he'll lay in front of you the whole, you know, for a whole 5 rounds, if you let him, he'll take you down and he know how to win rounds. But
that's true.
I just think it's something about that mystique of Fedor, man. I think we're going to get Fedor in this final. He might not win the final, but I think, you know, the last emperor, I think he's going to be one of the last men standing in this.
Very well done there. I like that. Lerone, do you agree, real quickly, we're going to go throw to you, Lerone. Do you agree that Fedor Emelianenko still has that knockout power, or do you think that what we saw against Quinton Rampage Jackson with when Chael fought him, and of course we heard what Quinton had to say about Chael, and he said, you know, he outsmarted me. He did a great job with his wrestling game. Do you think we're going to see that again against Fedor? What you got, Lerone?
Man, I'm going to have to say that, man. I'm going to have to go with that. I look at Chael as like a sly fox, man. I mean, he's really dialed in. He knows where his bread and butter is at. I still think that Fedor has knockout power, but I'm going to have to – I would even bet on it, man. I have Chael, man, for a sub. Subbing
okay.
him, you know?
Okay, and what round?
To play with him. I'd say probably.
You said
like
he's not going to play with him. You're saying he's not going to play with him. So what do you think?
Yeah, he's not going to play. He's not going to stand up on the feet with him. He's not going to try to exchange with him. He's going to try to wrestle him. You know, and just and I think it's going to be a mimic of the Rampage fight, believe it or not.
Okay.
Fedor, his gas tank is not that bad, but I just see what's his name? Chael just outsmarting him just on the ground and trying to advance, you know, looking for scrambles and keeping him down, keep taking him down, not trying to stand and bang with him, not trying to stand in the middle of the cage with him, you know, grind him out, you know, towards the cage. And he's going to really just try to really kind of lay and pray and squeeze out a decision or a submission. But I think he'll probably catch him in a scramble and squeeze out a submission somewhere in the third or the fourth round. And I'd bet money on that, man. Believe it or not,
okay.
I think Chael is really clicking on all cylinders as far as, like, knowing what he's good at and sticking with it at the moment in his last few fights.
Okay, so I'm putting you down for third round subs since you were sitting on the fence there, third or fourth round, unless you want to tell me definitively third or fourth.
Let's go with fourth.
Okay, I'll put you down for the fourth. All right, Marco, let's throw to you, brother, because, I mean, we've got Showtime picking Fedor with the KO power. We've got Lerone taking Chael with the sub power. And to be honest with you, Marco, I was kind of impressed with what he did against Quinton Jackson because, you know, Quinton is a wrestler as well, but he was able to work his game and get that win and move on to the next round against, you know, that's arguably one of the biggest heavyweights in our sport. What you got, Marco?
So I have to pick Chael because America, I know they can know Russians. Russians hacking our elections and stuff. Look, you know, it's not like Fedor hasn't been beat by a middleweight before. I mean, Dan Henderson, on his fight with Fedor, he weighed 206.5 pounds. He just had extra half pound to make heavyweight weight, you know? And he knocked Fedor out. I'm not saying that Chael is a better wrestler than Dan Henderson. I mean, that fight, for as long as it lasted, was freaking exciting. I mean, you know how it ended, right? Dan Henderson knocking Fedor out. But Chael got the wrestling connections, man. I mean, he can wrestle with the best of them. And Fedor is not that much of a bigger guy than him. I mean, Chael is walking around at 225 right now. And Fedor doesn't walk around more than 230, 235. So size-wise, it's a pretty even match. And if you go skill on the wrestling department, I'll get the S to Chael. I mean, Chael is a sambo master and all that crap, but he's not a wrestling specialist. I'll get the knockout edge to Fedor. Yeah, he does have that. But Chael is not a slouch in boxing either. He was a Golden Glove champion back on the day. And remember, on the first Anderson Silva fight, he was out striking Anderson Silva on the feet, man. So don't sleep on
injured Anderson Silva.
Yeah, don't sleep on Chael Sonnen's freaking striking. He's very, very serviceable. He uses it well to close the gap and, you know, close the distance so he can get a lock on his opponents and then, you know, start working his grappling game. I'm going with Chael, dude. I mean, Fedor,
okay.
I think he's way past his prime. He's very susceptible to the knockout. Guys that are, you know, who the fuck are those guys, you know? I mean, the Frank Mir fight was great, but Frank Mir was off a 2-year suspension, so I don't take too much stock on that freaking fight. Now I'm going to pick Chael, and Chael is good at decisioning people, so I'm going to take another decision. Give me a chance on my decision.
Okay.
Who the fuck is that guy?
And just quickly,
Fedor
guys,
gonna knock his ass out.
Showtime, I love it. Just quickly, we got to let Lerone go. He was on his break. So thank you, Lerone, for calling in, and we appreciate you. Let's play your music real quick and get you out. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. And I'll definitely tune in and call in a lot more frequent with you guys.
Yeah, man. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I'm high to you and family. All right. Love is love. Peace out.
All right. Cheers, brother. All right, Pammy. Once the music ends, we're going to throw to you. Pammy, what you got here? You got Chael or you got your boy Fedor?
Okay, you know what? Am I the only one that remembers these last fights that these fellows did? This is going to be a yawn fest. Yawn, I'm yawning. I'm going to be putting like
take
toothpicks in my eyes, I believe, to keep them open. Or a potty
Shut
break,
up.
Yeah. Fedor has won 6 of his last 10. Chael is 5-5 of last 10. Fedor, 13 KOs. Chael, 7 KOs. I think that Chael is just in a little better shape than Fedor is, and I'm picking Chael by decision. I'm not even going to go a big old long-winded description.
All right. I got it.
Chael
fuck
by
your
decision.
Bitch ass belt too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bitch ass belt. Okay, Tony. I mean, Lerone's not here, so come on, weigh in real quickly. I know you didn't want to weigh in because Lerone was here, but come on, give us your pick, please.
I just think there's too much star power, guys, right now. And shout out to Lerone. Shout out to my boy, Showtime. I'll say this, though, guys. And listen, I agree with what everyone has said. But here's the thing. Chael Sonnen, guys, Chael Sonnen is Chael Sonnen. He's great on the mic. But let's be honest. This is a 41-year-old Chael Sonnen that still has the same bits that he does every single time. He was trying to talk smack to Fedor, who barely speaks any English, or at least he doesn't want to pretend like he speaks English. Fedor still has a knockout power. Fedor still has some ground game. I'm going Fedor, guys. Second round TKO. I think he's going to chase after Chael. He's going to catch him, and Chael's going to go down like his mic skills. So Fedor with the second round TKO. Love Chael, but come on. It's not
okay,
even close.
So Tony, second round Chael? Sorry.
Second round TKO Fedor.
Fedor.
Yeah, Fedor. Fedor.
Like the cheese, Fedor cheese.
Second. Okay, no. Sorry, guys. I apologize about that. Tony, I'm actually going to agree with you 100%. Second round, Fedor and Showtime. I think it's going to be a KO straight up. I think I'm going first round. First round KO for Fedor.
Brain on bread.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Look, I think Fedor can knock people out. And I think if he gets the opportunity to do it, he's going to be able to do it. Is Chael Sonnen a sneaky little no, we won't go there. Yes, he is. He's definitely going to be able to work his wrestling game. I won't go Conor McGregor's route. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have thank you, Tony. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, so I want to show time.
Let's not forget that Bellator does not have USADA, so, you know, Chael
exactly,
might be a little more, you know, I know it's sad, you know. Chael Sonnen,
thank you, dummies.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, it's that's definitely a concern, right? I mean, but again, it's a concern for Fedor as well. They're both the same age. Anyways,
that's
on.
All you had to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to a little news and notes. Tony, if you got some music, throw that down. All right, guys, as you all know...
Why not?
As you know, last week, it was very, very close. I mean, we all had an up-and-down week. It was so very close between myself, Pam, and Tony. Marco didn't. Marco, your spotlight fight of the night. No, nobody's spotlight fight of the night turned out except for Tony's. Kuniskaya turned out for him. Everybody who picked Reyes, Tony, you didn't pick Reyes. Listen, that was a KO. First of all, that was a KO. The Lewis fight, we were split. Marco, you picked Lewis. Tony, you picked the Lewis as well. But nobody got the result correctly. You know, the third round KO. You know, Marco did take a KO though, so we did give him extra points for that one. In the Reyes fight, of course, you picked KO, Marco. I picked the KO as well, but that didn't happen until the last minutes. That Ferguson fight,
robbery!
Goodness
robbery!
Gracious. Hey?
I got robbed by KO. That was a KO, man. Fuck.
It was a KO. Wow. Yeah, it was definitely a KO. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And then that Ferguson fight was great. And then, of course, Pam and I both took Khabib. Of course, we did not take it in the fourth, and we did not take it a sub. So this one is very, very close. I'm going to give it to Pam on this one because...
Yay!
Yeah, she has the most... yeah, exactly, pony. Yeah, so Pam, congratulations on that one.
Thank you very much. Thank you for keeping it warm for me.
That's right. Okay, so let's get to this. Let's get to this, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't be scared, homie.
That's right. Don't be scared, homie. Let's get to this. There's lots of news, guys.
I'm
sorry, but there is lots of news, okay? There's lots of news, but we have to stay on the biggest story of the week. The biggest story of the week is that Khabib Nurmi beat Conor McGregor, and it wasn't even close. Okay, guys, in my opinion, I was watching this fight live with a friend of mine who is not an MMA fan. He likes to watch the big fights. I've mentioned him before on this show. But it wasn't close. I mean, Conor maybe won that third round. Showtime, you were there live. At least you were in Vegas, right? I mean, I don't know if you were in the building. Were you in the building, Showtime?
Yeah, I was in the live, baby. I was in the live. Showtime was there live.
So let's go ahead and get Showtime to weigh in first. And let's just talk about the fight first, okay? Let's separate what happened after the fight until we discuss later. So, Showtime, let's throw to you. You were there live in the building. What were your thoughts on the fight?
The fight went pretty much how I thought it would go. I mean, I bet a little money with Conor because you very seldom get Conor as a dog. But if you know, if somebody told me they were going to put a gun to my head and I had to make a pick, it would have been on Khabib because I pretty much knew how the fight was going to go.
Right.
And he basically controlled him. But now, surprisingly, Khabib was able to hurt Conor on the feet. Now, that's I thought he was playing with fire, you know, when he stood with him and he stood with him quite a bit. You know, normally a guy like Conor, that's all he needs for you just to get out of character and stand with him a little bit and he can catch you with something. But I don't know if it was the layoff or just, you know, the stress that Khabib was putting on him, but Conor wasn't sharp with he wasn't sharp like he normally is with his accuracy. And normally, you know, Conor can hit you with something and he measure your distance and he gets you measured out and get your timing out and, you know, he can touch you, but he wasn't able to do it. You know, just basically total domination by Khabib, man. The crazy thing about it, the crowd was so pro-Conor, man. I mean, pro-Conor. And I was filming a little bit of it on my phone as we were watching the fights. And I watched some of it back today, and you can hear, like, people, Conor, come on, Conor, get off your back. You know, it was just funny, man, just listening to the commentary of people just screaming, you know, for Conor as he getting mauled.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. it was – let me ask you another quick question, because you said there was a lot of Connor fans there, but me watching from the comfort of my friend's couch here up in Ontario, Canada, did it have that big feel, like it felt like it was translating through the TV? Did it have that big feel in the arena?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, and you guys may be surprised by this, but the moment that was the biggest moment of the night, where the whole freaking crowd went nuts, is when Derrick Lewis knocked Volkov out.
The roof
came off. I mean, it was so freaking loud when he knocked him out, man. Everybody went crazy. That was actually, you know, it was loud. I mean, when Connor came out, you know, at the beginning when he did his walkout and all that, it was real loud. But other than that, the crowd didn't have a lot to scream for as far as Connor. It was quiet.
You know what?
It was actually, I'm going to tell you what, it reminded me of when Ronda Rousey got knocked out by Amanda. That's how quiet it was after the fight. You know, the Irish normally go around singing that little chant, and they weren't even really doing it. They were quiet, very quiet.
Yeah, okay, so let me just give you a quick intro into what my viewing party. In the, everybody said exactly the same thing. We had a bunch of people who don't watch MMA in the room, and they said the best fight was that Derrick Lewis, you know, comeback right at the end to knock out Volkov. So I agree with you 100%. I mean, from the viewing party, that was the biggest pop of the night. Derrick Lewis, big star, right?
Yeah, and you know the crazy thing about it, like I've been since they were talking about his numbers on his social media, I was looking maybe a day or so ago, he was 1.1 million. I think I looked back again today, he was either 1.1 or 1.4. So this guy's getting like 100,000 followers a day. I mean, that's freaking nuts, man. So,
yeah. Oh,
you know, everybody wanted to know why Dana, you know, would choose and put him in this fight, because just think about the casual, when you get the casual people that kind of like this guy, and we'll see if it translates into numbers, you know. But with this card, if they can do 450,000, 500,000 buys, that's a win, you know, for this card.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Absolutely. And I want to touch on that if we have time later, because that's a very interesting fight announcement, him against DC for the heavyweight title before Brock. Okay, maybe we should not mention that. Pam, I'm going to throw to you real quickly. Showtime brought up that, you know, maybe we didn't see the best Connor. Maybe it was 2 years off. I don't know, man. I just thought that he got dominated. We've been saying this on this show for, you know, 2 years, that Connor has been spoon-fed for a while, and that, you know, he comes up against a wrecker like Khabib, who is, as I've said on this show before, Pam, if someone cannot just buy into or listen to the fact that Connor is running his mouth like Khabib did and just smash him, then that's what's going to happen. So let's go to you, because I assume you watched this at home as well, in the comfort of your own home. Maybe you had a party. But let's talk about the fight. What do you got, Pam?
Okay. Well, you know, of course I watched the fight, but truth be told, the fight that I was more excited for was the Tony Ferguson, you know, the Tony.
Connor, I want you to talk about Connor, because I don't have a lot of time.
Well, the thing was Connor was questioning Khabib's record, 26-0. Who had he fought? You know, he hadn't fought anybody. And I think what he did was, I compare Connor to the little fairy tale of the Emperor's New Clothes, where everybody convinced the emperor that he had these new clothes on and he's walking around naked. And there was a few people who are like, hey, wait, this dude's naked. That is my comparison. So the emperor just got exposed, you know?
Right.
You know, he got exposed, you know, and it wasn't that, oh, he wasn't on his game. Khabib was just that good, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear any, oh.
Don't be scared, homie.
when he knocked him down, and people would say, oh, it was a slip. No, motherfuckers.
No, he hit him in the face.
He knocked him straight clean on the chin. You know, yeah. So you can't take anything away from Khabib. He did everything he was supposed to do, and he did it perfectly. I mean, even with Conor cheating by putting his toes in the fence and grabbing on his glove.
Let's not talk about that yet.
Okay,
holy
well,
fuck.
You
how
know,
much
so
did
Khabib,
he cheat?
It was
seriously, how much?
Complete
no,
domination.
Let's talk about it right now.
I was happy. I was
let's
happy.
Let's talk about it right now. How much did he cheat? Conor cheated as much as I've ever seen anybody cheat, right, Pam? Like, seriously.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Holding
how
the glove,
could you not?
Holding
how
the
did
shirt,
Herb not see that?
No, he saw it. He saw it. I mean,
oh,
this
my
is
God.
Another thing we got to deal with. DJ Tony. This is another thing we got to deal with because we saw a lot of things just in this fight. Never mind what happened after the fight. Never mind what happened before the fight. But we saw a lot of things happen just during this fight that, you know, maybe Conor's, you know, getting his dick rubbed by the emperor that is, you know. And we can't be cheating, you know what I mean? And people were saying to me at this viewing party that I was at, they were like, what can we do about that? And I brought up my, you know, electrify the cage. If you put anything through the cage, you get fucking electrified. Tony, what you got?
Well, skip me on this, but I will say this.
Ow,
I'm probably the biggest Conor fan. I'm probably the biggest Conor fan of everyone here, but I can say this. I've never seen anyone cheat more than anyone. That's the most
cheating.
I've ever seen anyone cheat. He was grabbing shorts. He was grabbing gloves. Illegal knees. Illegal elbows. I mean, it was just blatant. So, I mean, gosh. I mean, he just got schools.
I mean, but
well,
do you think that was because out of desperation?
Hang on 1 second, Jeez. Showtime. Hang on 1 second, Showtime. Let Pam go, and then you can go, Showtime.
I was saying, do you think he was doing that out of desperation? I'm not trying to be funny, but because he was so... you know, he predicts, you know, his left hand. You know, nobody can take the left hand. Well, obviously, people can't take that left hand. And I'm wondering that he was doing that just out of desperation because, I mean, Khabib was just suffocating him.
Showtime?
Man, Khabib was mauling him. He better be. I'm surprised he didn't eye poke him. You know, he didn't try to poke his eyes, bite him.
He tried. Yeah. He tried.
Yeah. I mean, that was a slaughter, man. I knew that it was only so much of that Conor was going to take it. He was going to get up out of there. See, that's the only thing about – I know we're not talking about it, but that's the only thing about a guy like Tony Ferguson. He'll roll out and, you know, Conor don't – if you get Conor on his back, he's just flat. He don't have any escape.
Yeah.
He can't escape. But we'll talk about that, I guess, at another time.
No, keep going, please.
No, I mean, Pam was talking about – the Tony Ferguson fight. One thing about Tony, when he get in trouble, he's rolling, he's flipping out, he's moving constantly. He's not just going to lay there and just let you ground and pound him and hold him down. He's going to find some kind of escape route. And a guy like Conor don't have that in his game yet. I want to see Khabib against Tony. I want to see him against a guy like somebody that can wrestle, you know, Kevin Lee, somebody that can withstand basically somebody like Tony Ferguson can go in the deep water with him and somebody going to drown. Either he'll drown or Khabib drown because they both will go into the deep water. And Tony, the type of guy, you got to kill him to get him out of there. That's what I like about his heart. That guy has heart.
So I hear you guys. Yeah, you got your opinions. But I'm going to be pragmatic about the fight. it is what it is. We know that Khabib is a superior wrestler. The superior grappler. But you have to give to Conor the fact that as somebody that is not supposed to be able to wrestle, he expected to take that defense. Technically speaking, was on point. It's just that no matter how technically on point your takedown defense is, Khabib will take it down no matter who the fuck you are. Conor's defense against any other guy would have been freaking awesome. Yeah, well. After wrestling, you know, for two rounds, he's not going to have the same pep on the step, you know, the same pop of his punches. The second round was a 10-8. but we also underestimating Conor's the ground defense, because for as much as he did well on him on the second round, you look at Conor's face and he was barely marked. I mean, at the end of the fight, it wasn't like Anthony Pettis and Tony Ferguson. They were both bleeding all over the place. Conor's face was pretty much clean. And, you
what?
Know, his face was pretty much clean.
Wait a second.
You gotta look.
His left eye was fucked up, man.
Yeah, well, he got freaking punched 170 fucking times, but he wasn't freaking bleeding all over the place. I mean, look what Javi did to freaking Barbosa. Barbosa's face looked like the freaking elephant man.
Yep.
Maybe some people breathe easier than other people.
Hang on. Let Marco make his point, please. Let Marco make his point. I know it was my fault for weighing in. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is not like Conor was not defending himself, intelligently on the board on the second round. I grant you, it was a 10-8 round. He completely dominated him on the second round. But Conor was intelligent defending himself and minimizing the damage. You know, I guess he was banking on Khabib gassing out. Conor won the third round, but for whatever reason, Khabib took the third round off because, like Eddie Alvarez said it best, even in a 25-minute round, you can only wrestle for 15 minutes, man. I mean, you got to manage your gas, man. You cannot wrestle for 25. Conor won the third one, fair and square, and on the fourth, Khabib went back to the well and finally choked him. I don't think Conor was completely spent by that time, you know. And once he got that face crank, it wasn't a neck crank. It wasn't a freaking rear naked. It was a face crank right on his jaw. If you ever have a freaking crank put on your jaw, no, I don't care who you are. You want to tie because you don't want your jaw broken. The one thing that bugged me about it is that Conor was not fighting hands. So I think basically he just saw the end of the end of the line of the tunnel.
He never fights hands, though. Every time we see him at university, he never fucking fights hands.
Yeah, he didn't do it with Nate Diaz. And on his very, very first fight, when he lost by Leonard Kachop back on Cage Warriors, the same shit. I guess Dylan Danis and Cameron are not easy to fight hands when somebody gets his neck. So that is something that they got to work on. But Khabib is the best lightweight in the planet. Probably one of the best fighters in the world. And there is no question about it now. We got to make that Tony Ferguson fight and get it figured out. But that is an argument for another day.
Okay. Tony doesn't want to weigh in here real quickly. So I'm going to weigh in. Listen, guys. Khabib was exactly what we've been waiting for. We've been talking about this for years on this show. We've mentioned that, yes, Conor McGregor has won all of the fights that have been put in front of him, except for the first Nate Diaz fight on record. I think that a bunch of us think that Nate Diaz won that one as well. This was a beatdown. Other than the third round, as I mentioned to you guys on last week's show, I said the third round is a concern for Khabib. It always is. He wrestles for two rounds, like Marco just said, and he gets tired, and he needs to manage his output, and that's exactly what he did in this fight. Yes, he had extra, and we'll get to this quickly, hopefully, he had extra reason to take his time and, you know, he said he was going to beat him down. He said he was going to smash him. That's exactly what he did. And yes, he with the knockdown in the second round, yeah, that's something that we need to look at, because Conor McGregor is not the striker that we think he is. If his coach is on Joe Rogan, Kavanaugh is on Joe Rogan saying, "Oh, we didn't expect him to be that good of a boxer." Well, he's improving. You know what I mean? He's improving all the time. Everybody's improving if you're at the top of the game. It was nice to see Conor McGregor tap yet again. Every single time he taps, I enjoy myself. I was right in the face of the casual fan that I was watching the fights with, and he was very shocked at the fact that I was right in his face going, "He tapped! He tapped! Ooh, I love it! He tapped!" Yeah, that makes me happy. And you know what, guys? let's move on to the nuts and bolts of this, okay? Let me kind of put the road down here because we're at an hour right now, and I want to try and close the show out. So after the fight has ended, not only does Nurmi have a few words, choice words for Conor McGregor, and as he should, but he then turns to his corner, throws his mouthpiece at whomever, I would assume Dylan Dennis, because he's a cunt. And, yeah, no, he is 100%. And then Nurmi jumps over and tries to, jumps over the cage and tries to, you know, drop kick him in the face. Now, a melee, as our boys on the co-main event like to call it, ensued. Yeah, I was just, in my opinion, guys, I'm going to weigh in quickly first. I thought that, as I mentioned on Thursday last, that this could have been a lot worse. I told you something was going to happen. You cannot, Marco, you cannot talk to a person from the Russian area or the Caucasus area, you know, talk about his father. You can't talk about his religion. You just can't do those things and expect that the people who are living in that region that have that belief will not fuck you up. That's just what's going to happen. And I think that Khabib really showed a lot of composure. I told you on this show in previous shows that whomever can just not pay attention to Conor McGregor, who can just not feed into what Conor McGregor wants to give you. And Khabib doing exactly what he did at the press conference on Thursday, as I mentioned, not feeding into Conor McGregor's ego. He left, Marco. He left. He showed that he was not going to do what Conor McGregor wanted. Not only did he fucking smash him, but then, yeah, there was a melee afterwards, and that did happen. And, Marco, I'm just going to say I'm just glad it turned out the way that it did. Thank God the UFC had as much security, as much police force as it did to quell that situation, because 20,000 people brawling in the seats could have been a lot worse. Marco, what you got?
So when it comes to the brawl after the fight, I'm disappointed with Khabib, because you already proved the point by winning the fight. All the extracurriculars were completely unnecessary. The moment Khabib jump off that cage, he gave license to his two other knockout friends to jump in the cage and start brawling with Conor. Conor, you know, I don't give a fuck if people say, oh, he threw the first punch. Dude, if somebody, you just finish a fight and somebody jump on the cage and start freaking, you don't know what is going to happen, you're going to try to defend yourself. That's assault, brother. Yeah, this thing could have escalated like what happened with Holyfield Tyson. You know, back in boxing, back in the day, dude, there was a riot inside that arena. I don't remember the name of the two boxers, but there was another freaking super riot on boxing that, like, people died on the fucking arena, dude. So it could have escalated. I mean, the governor of Nevada had to get rushed out of the arena because this thing could have got out of hand. Good for the UFC for having a lot of security there. I don't care for who the fuck country you are. You're in America. We don't act that way here. Khabib proved his point when he beat Conor, and he should have ended there. He's so respectful. If you believe in all that, why in the hell are you disrespecting yourself and your family by acting the fool after the fact? All that this thing does is sell the next fight. We already know it. 2.5 million pay-per-views were sold on this fight. Everybody on the planet are talking about what happened after the fact. And whatever the opinion is, everybody's interested on the rematch. It's going to happen. Whether it's happened early next year or late next year, it's going to happen, because 2.5 million pay-per-view sales tell you otherwise. Khabib Nurmagomedov's freaking Instagram following went from 4 million to 12 million freaking followers in less than 48 hours. So he became a superstar too. This is not over. This is just the freaking beginning. When it comes to the melee, it's a part with Khabib. He's going to get his mark on the hand by Nevada, because they understand that he's hopefully a superstar now. They understand he's going to get a heavy fine. They're going to get a slap on the wrist. They want that freaking rematch to be in Nevada, because the amount of revenue, man. 2.5 million pay-per-views sold. That is all anybody and everybody cares about right now. The amount of money they're going to make on the rematch is going to be freaking unbelievable. But when it comes to the actions, I cannot condone them to anybody. If Conor would have done it, we would be talking about all sorts of shit about Conor jumped the case. And he had done it before. I would have fucking talked about it when he did that shit in Bellator. Why is Khabib different? You know, I do not condone behavior like that. It is professional sport. It was a black eye of the sport during the night. Right now that the freaking dust has settled, you know, because I got a lot of casual fans that saw this shit, and it's like, this is what you watch all the time, man? And they're talking like nonsense because they don't see the sport that I see all the time. They're interested because of the freaking drama, but now that the dust has settled, it's going to be okay. But at the time, I felt a little bit disgusted with the whole situation. Man. It was dangerous. I don't like stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And honestly, just so you, the listeners know, I'm actually keeping Showtime, who is actually in the building, for last, because that's the point of view that we want to hear. So, Pam, I'm going to throw to you next. Mm-hmm. You know, you as everyone else besides Showtime are watching this on TV, and as Marco said, I was a little embarrassed about it at first as well, but again, as I mentioned last Thursday, not unexpected. We've seen this in boxing before. Shit, we see this in fucking baseball. Somebody plunks somebody and everybody fucking cleans the fucking the benches and we have a fight. Pam, what you got?
I hate that it happened because I wish that Khabib would have just, you know, held his composure the way he did through the whole thing. Through the whole thing. But, I mean, you had, you know, at the face-off or the weigh-ins where, you know, Conor trying to kick him in the face and Dana's not doing anything. And I was watching
exactly.
Some of the
don't
tape
touch,
that
don't
was...
Don't touch, don't touch. He touches him
and then he tries to kick him in the face. Yeah, but then he's got, I don't know if you saw any of the tape, and if not, I'll send it to you. They've got, there's a piece of tape that wasn't shown, like on TV. Somebody had it. And you showed Ali is, you know, defending Khabib, telling, you know, saying, hey, you know, watch out, watch out. And Dana's actually on telling him to get the fuck out of here while he's letting Conor do whatever Conor does. He's yelling at other people to shut the fuck up and get away. So, going as far as fines, I think both of them should be fined. If they're going to get fined, Dana should get fined too, because he was part of, you know, inciting a riot. That was inciting a riot. Dana, let this happen, let this happen, let this happen. And people are saying, oh, you know, shit talk, it's all shit talk. But it is and it isn't, because you have to look at the situation. Khabib is not a jokey kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is very real and very serious for him. So for Conor to be taking those shots that he did, and I sent you, Proteus, that piece of tape that shows some of the stuff that he was saying that we didn't have privy to. So no wonder he did it. But I hate that he did it. I hate that he did it just because it made him look bad and, you know, people are talking bad about him. And I wish it would have never happened. But I think that it was unfair, too, to withhold his purse and give Conor his purse. I think Khabib has his now. Is that right, Marco? You know?
Yeah, I don't know if he has his purse yet, but he has come
but
out.
But I think they should have withheld both purses till everything got straightened up.
But
know?
That is not,
I agree
that
with
is
you.
Not up to Conor, that was up to the commission. The commission decided to
100%.
Give Conor his purse, and then you know they withheld Khabib's. But they're both going in front of the commission right now. Not just
I'm sorry, guys. We
yeah, well,
to,
I
we
saw this thing
show,
that both
no,
of them
I'm
were
sorry,
getting
guys,
suspended.
Guys. We have to get to Showtime. We have to wrap this fucking show up, okay? I apologize. I know that we usually have the time to argue against one another, but Showtime was actually in the building, and Showtime's been waiting while we've all been talking. And Showtime, I want to throw to you because we've really built this situation for you, and you're really, you know, the last guy to speak about it. You were in the building. You know that we're, you know, Thursday – from Saturday, a lot of this story has advanced, and we know that Khabib has said that if anybody of his team is going to be touched, then he's going to not be in the UFC anymore, and that's another layer of this story that we need to talk about. So I know I'm throwing a lot of pressure on you right now, Showtime, but give us the feel that was in the arena because you were there, and then give us your thoughts on, you know, what happened, and you know, everybody probably is a little bit, you know, disappointed in Khabib, but we didn't do anything to Conor McGregor when he threw a fucking a dolly at a bus. So, Showtime, I'm just gonna throw it to you and let you speak for a bit.
Man, that's the only thing about it, man. It's like everything is so pro Conor. You know, Conor can do anything. He can get away with anything. I'm gonna tell you this, man. A lot of people, man, was glad to see Conor get his ass whooped. Because Conor can be so disrespectful, and you know, I don't like what Khabib did, but I understand what he did, and I understand why he did it. You know, those guys don't play around, man, with all that joking and all that other crap. They straight serious. They not with all that drunk stuff. Just like you can tell the difference in the Khabib fans out there and the Conor fans, the Irish, you know, drunk and hollering and making a bunch of noise. The Khabib fans were pretty much stoic, you know, looking like they were ready for war. I was just like, woo. And, you know, just the disrespect. So I kind of go back with, like you said, with Dana. He had to get a grasp on everything, man. And when you start talking about people's religion, some stuff got to be off limits, man. That's the only thing about now, man. Everybody, we live in this day and age where people think they can just say anything. And it shouldn't be like that, man. And when you're dealing with people that come from a different part of the world, man, those guys ready to die. What you talking about to those guys, they're ready to die for that. So you got to know who you're talking to. Maybe this may be a little learning experience for Conor, too. Conor can be an idiot sometimes. But I just hate the way that he played with the guys, talking about the guy's dad, talking about race. But if we look at you know, one thing about it, we need to keep religion and race and all. Let's keep this out of it. Back from the Jose Aldo, back to that fight. That's part of kind of stuff to try to get in a person's head. But, you know, it can be a little bit more tasteful, man. So, I don't know. That's something that we can see if the UFC does anything about that. But, you know, Conor pretty much, it's like he makes his own rules and breaks his own rules as he makes them. So we'll just have to see. Yeah. I just hope they don't – I would hope they would give Khabib maybe a six-month suspension or something, if that, man, and a fine. But I can see what he's saying about if his guys on his team, or if they're suspended, there's going to be an issue. I mean, I can see that because you're right. Didn't anybody from Conor's squad get suspended?
Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right. Are you still with us, Showtime? Because I don't hear you anymore.
Yeah, I'm still with you. Guys.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct, because no fine, no sanctions, no nothing was ever handed out to any of Conor's team. You know, there was one guy that, you know, was arrested and brought in. We never heard anything about that. Everything seemed to just be let go with the, you know, Rose Namajunas is not being able to fight right now. She's not being able to go out of her house, apparently, because Conor McGregor. Ray Borg was not able to fight because of Conor McGregor. Michael Church was not able to fight because of Conor McGregor. What is going on here? You know, I think Luke Thomas said it right, and I've been saying this for years, but, I mean, Luke Thomas is a listener of our show, and he's, you know, obviously being fed by the Proteus ways of thinking that, you know, we need, thank you, I appreciate that, we need a union. We need some kind of protecting force to protect these fighters from themselves. You can't expect, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, guys, right now. We're running late. But you know how I feel. If you're a long-time listener to this show, you know how I feel. Cam, do you have a guilty pleasure, or do you have a Twitter follow of the week?
My
please
guilty
enlighten
pleasure
us.
Is still 90 Day Fiancé, because it's such a great train wreck, and
again,
I love it. You all need to watch it. It's crazy fun. And let's follow. Who should we follow? Let's follow Khabib Nurmagomedov.
No, we should follow Sam. Because she needs
Sam?
All of the follows. Sam. Yeah, Sam is
okay.
Lovely.
Yeah, Sam.
We should follow Sam. Yeah. Go ahead. Give her
Samantha
give her Twitter
Gypsy.
Up.
Samantha Gypsy. Samantha underscore Gypsy.
Yeah,
at
follow
Twitter.
Follow that one. Wink, wink. Nod,
Sam,
nod,
Sam,
nod,
Sam,
nod.
Sam.
Yeah, she's doing well. Not that Pam's not doing well either, so follow her at Pandora Box with two X's.
Oh, but Sam is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Showtime, we haven't had you on the show for a while, so let's get you caught up. Would you got any guilty pleasures? You got any Twitter follows of the week that we need to follow? What you got?
Well, I'm not necessarily a Twitter follower, but
do whatever you want.
IG follow the Black Beast.
Yeah,
he's a funny.
Ooh,
he's funny.
Nice.
If anybody's not following the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, follow him. He is a nut. Hey, did you guys see the little picture he posted of him and Daniel Cormier, the two little fat guys?
Yeah.
That guy is crazy, man.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know what IG is, it's Instagram. Showtime is on the cusp. He's right on the front line of the social medias. DJ Tony, you want to weigh in here? You got any guilty pleasures? You got a Twitter follow of the month or the week that we need to follow? Because I know there's got to be a hot girl somewhere that you want us to follow.
My Twitter follow of the month, how about that, is Alpha Cat Singano.
Misha Tate.
Oh, gosh, I love me some Misha Tate. But I will say this, guilty pleasure, I'm a big shoe guy. So shout out to Puma for finally putting out a basketball shoe. They haven't done that in over 20 years. So shout out to Puma on this. My Twitter follow of the week, guys. You guys want to jump on this? At Harding Janae, not Hardon, Harding, like Tanya Harding, at Harding Janae, beautiful fighter for Bellator. Shout out to her.
Excellent, 100%. And Tony, I just wanted to shout this out to the podcast listeners. Tony likes to review sneakers or shoes, as you guys like to call them, basketball shoes, whatever you want to call them. Tony likes to do that, and he's very good at it. So follow Tony. I'm DJ Tony. Marco's going to give that to you later. My Twitter follow of the week obviously has to be at Coheed. They've just recently put out a new album, and it's awesome. Every single song on that album is fantastic. So, hashtag on Heavenly Creatures. Marco, guilty pleasure or Twitter follow?
My guilty pleasure this week have been all the Tommy Toho's videos of the latest news and events that have unfolded in the last couple of weeks. Go and take a look at his YouTube page. The videos are hilarious. They're like 2 to 3 minutes. And every single news that we have talked about and we have discussed and the events of the week and Khabib and all the stuff, Tommy Toho is unique and the outtake that he got on that. Very funny. Go and check it out. Have a laugh, you know. Forget about all the drama and take this drama with a little bit of a grain of salt and a little smile on your face. Follow Tony, and I am DJ Tony. Follow Papa Pandora Box. Follow Producer Antonio. Follow Showtime at Raymundo. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast. Rate and review at Snacklehead. Subscribe on freaking iTunes. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars. Tell your mother. Tell your friend. Tell the mailman. Tell everybody. Spread the word about the show. This 5 Knuckleheads that talk about MMA once a week when there is fights on the weekend. You know, because we love it, we enjoy it, and we just giving you our guesses.
MMA junkies.
We are junkies at heart. So you tell everybody, spread the word. We better leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the Bellator fight. Bellator is gonna Bellator.
And just like that, Pammy.
We're out.
We out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Thank you, Showtime.